Hi, I'm Shrunkla Holochak, the founder and CEO of UMA, an Ayurvedic beauty and wellness collection. This is the UMA Ayurveda podcast. Each week, I'll be having a conversation with someone I greatly admire on the topics of Ayurveda, holistic healing, spiritual well-being, and alternative health. By sharing wisdom, I hope to share a personal truth and revelation with you that as ancient as they are, Ayurveda and other healing modalities are as modern and relevant today as ever. Vogue magazine calls Candace Furness the Ayurvedic facialist with a massage technique so good you might cry. They continue, you come out looking fresher and feeling like you've had a full body detox, even though she only works on your face and neck. I've had the pleasure and privilege of being on Candace's table and can fully endorse that Candace's technique is like no other. Candace is trained in the Ayurvedic facelift massage and has a strong understanding of Ayurvedic skincare and aromatherapeutic botanicals, which give her unparalleled insight into the world of Ayurvedic beauty. So Candace, hi, it's so good.
Hi.
Chatting with you, crazy circumstances notwithstanding. I know it's been a while.
It has. It's so nice to talk to you. Thank you. Thank you for calling me in. What a pleasure.
The pleasure is all ours. In our work together, as well as having had the great privilege of being a client of yours and having experienced the incredible Ayurvedic face massage that you give. It is truly very, very meaningful for me to be sharing all your wisdom, your insight, and your great powers with your hands with our audience. I like asking everyone I speak with this question, Candace, because it means different things to different people. But what does Ayurveda mean for you, and what has it done for you?
Oh, that is such a good question. For me, it means a holistic approach. And I think that being able to factor in a lot of different aspects makes it easier for us to come up with a plan or an idea or a solution. It's a multi-dimensional way of thinking for a multifaceted life, right?
And especially coming from you, that makes so much sense, because in your work, you focus on skincare and aesthetics, but through such a vibrant and different lens, one that integrates energy, marma point stimulation, and so many ancillary ways of healing the skin as well as the mind and body. Before we go into the details of that, and I'm dying to, tell me a bit more about your beauty and skincare philosophy.
Honestly, it's very simple, and it is to polish it up and love it. It really is just to highlight your favorite features, bring up the level of quality of your skin and your body, and then honestly, just to love yourself.
Completely fair.
Confidence is one of the most beautiful aspects of a human.
Couldn't agree more. Candace, that is powerful, yet something that we wrangle with every day and sometimes still have difficulty accepting, given the great degree of schooling that you have had in traditional as well as Ayurvedic skincare, what was sort of the turning point that you started to realize that a holistic approach to skincare and beauty is what is needed?
My goodness, it was essentially taught to me by my clients, which is a huge learning base for me, are my clients. Being a makeup artist on set with people who are professionally beautiful, they, of course, come gorgeous, and it's by genetics and by simply asking them about their allergies and their preferences. I created a level of care that made them feel better taken care of, so they were more beautiful. And so I realized that it was really a multidimensional job. It wasn't just about painting a beautiful face even more beautiful. You know, what are they allergic to? What do they prefer? And then gorgeous skincare. And once you've prepped that canvas, and by canvas I mean that human being, they're able to do their job with so much more pleasure. And then everyone wins, right?
Indeed. Oh,
yeah.
How long have you been practicing these techniques or this holistic way of caring for skin?
In life, I think that it was ingrained in me young. My mom is a nurse and she's also a healer. I'm a fourth generation healer. So it's all interwoven, right? Like, how did you sleep? What did you eat? Are you thirsty? Are you tired? Are you hungry? And coming from a professional dance background, you have to take care of the vehicle, right? Like, your body is the medium of that particular art. And so that knowledge spread into art school. You have to prep the canvas before you paint on it. And that knowledge transferred into painting the human canvas. So it's been an evolution that just became more and more evident that it was really important. Really important.
That's beautifully put.
Oh, thank you.
Along this journey, what have been your most surprising discoveries and experiences?
I think the dramatic change in my clients, that's been the most surprising. Asking them questions and letting them and holding space for them to come to the answers, right? Just allowing them to have space and time to heal themselves. It's like a more proactive form of therapy. You know, you ask simple questions and it's always the same simple questions, and those simple questions can rabbit hole into deeper things. And sometimes people just need to hear themselves say it out loud, and then they come up with the answer. So that's been the most dramatic change, is really just watching my clients evolve. It's also really rewarding.
I can imagine. This sounds like skincare and therapy in one.
Well, it is. You know, our face is a first impression. We're facing reality. We're facing ourselves. We're facing time. We're FaceTiming each other. And so it's, you know, it's, and we're judged by it. And it's very important in this day and age to a lot of people. So to be able to hold space for that and to promote an inner radiance, I think is exquisite.
So sort of switching into the details of this approach, and I know this firsthand, and I feel very fortunate to have this firsthand from you, but what would you say for some of the listeners are the key benefits or key differences between the traditional approach and your approach of taking care of yourself through a facial?
Okay, so the key differences between a regular facial and the facelift massage is that the face massage is essentially the cheek meat of the facial. It's the most glorious part. It's only the massage. It's only the sculpting and the lymphatic drainage. So it's only the relaxation portion. And luckily, that portion increases oxygen. It releases dopamine, serotonin, increases the immune system. So all of this is beneficial on a energetic level, an emotional level, physical level, but also a biological level. There's no extraction. There's no pain. It's incredibly gentle. So it's simpler and it's easier for the body to assimilate. So it really does, it's healthy.
How is it that the face feels so lifted, so well rested after just a 1 hour treatment with you? I remember taking pictures with you and seeing that dramatic change in my skin, in almost the firmness and the collagen levels. What is it within your technique and within facial massage as a whole that is helping the body do that?
I think one of the most dramatic differences is that it starts with the monopoint stimulation, which introduces fresh oxygen straight into the brain. It's like a gorgeous inversion in yoga. And it's, we as organisms release 70% of our toxins through our exhale. So if we can introduce fresh oxygen into the system and the client exhales a gorgeous exhale, 70% of the waste is gone. And just reference, 6% of our waste is urine and 70% of our waste is the exhale. And that's in the first few minutes of the face massage, is that gorgeous oxygenated rush. It's like a beautiful inversion in yoga. So the treatment starts with a huge detox. And that's just on a biological level. And then after that, 70% water and the whole face can be manipulated. But honestly, it's that huge release in the beginning of stale air, a huge detox.
I understand that you also sometimes use Shirodhara in your sessions. I'm sure our listeners would love to hear more about the technique and what makes it so impactful.
Oh my goodness, it is one of the most divine techniques I have ever learned. The beginning sequence of it recalibrates the nervous system through the spinal cord. And this is a technique I learned also in energy class, followed by grounding the client through the feet, which is huge, and then a 20-minute pineal gland drip. And I can customize it with a hydrosol, a tea, or an oil. And it's 20 minutes of a very soft drip on the pineal gland, which is that gland located in between the hemispheres of the brain. And it drips slowly down into the air. And the practitioner stays with the client, so they're never alone. And it is the softest, most gentle healing practices that I've encountered. It's so beautiful to perform that.
Oh gosh, I can imagine a million people wanting to do this right now. And if some of us wanted to come over and experience this, Candace, what's the best way of reaching you for booking a facial or a Shirodhara or a face massage with you?
Directly. All of the services are listed on my website, CandaceForness.com. I can be emailed, I can be called, and we can set up appointments. Yep. I'm based in New York, and I'm available for travel.
That sounds amazing. What I'd also love to do is share some at-home facial tips with our listeners. What are some of your favorite things that people can do at home?
Being on set, I realized I'm a makeup artist and a men's groomer. I'm a holistic and beauty and wellness specialist, so I have a variety of modalities. And one of the most mainstream is I'm a makeup artist and a men's groomer. And the male models, sometimes they come with scruff and sometimes they have to shave, you know, because it all depends on what the client wants. I'm watching them shave because I give them the option of me shaving them or them shaving. And they exercise their face. They make faces while they shave. And I realized after all these years, oh my goodness, it's essentially face yoga. And a little 5-minute face yoga every day is why a man's jawline is so much more taut than a woman's, right? It makes sense.
So much sense.
Right? It took seriously 20 years of being on set watching male models shave. And I'm like, oh wait, it's those weird faces you're making. So, and it's just, they shave so quickly. It's a little bit every day. So a little tiny bit of a ritual, whether it's a little bit of a massage to move everything around, or just to stretch your face out. A little bit every day can make a huge difference. Huge difference.
I'm a huge believer in that, and thank you for calling that out. It's such an interesting insight that you offered, but it works, and the proof is in the pudding. So
absolutely.
Do you use facial tools during your service?
The only tools I use during my service are my hands. What I've learned is that the hands are human tuning forks, and I am able to feel and connect so deeply with my clients through my hands that it is the simplest and most organic tool. For myself, I love the gua sha stones and I love the rollers. I think they're really fun, they're really effective, and to implement stone, I love the rose quartz, is really gorgeous. A beauty ritual, I think, is so important, and self-care is so important, especially in times where we don't have a lot of solids. Like, we don't really know what's happening in the world right now. We don't really have a lot of answers. We don't know what the future is going to hold, but we do know that we love our rose quartz gua sha and that we'll feel better afterwards. So it's, you know, little things that we can do once again every day to promote health.
Candace, I was wondering if you might be able to offer any insight on how to select the best tools from within all the gua shas and all the rollers that one has at their disposal. Do you believe one is better than the others, or do you feel like they're a little bit all the same?
I feel like you just want to make sure that it's authentic. You just want to make sure that the stones are actually stones, whether it's jade or whether it's sodalite or whether it's rose quartz. You just want to make sure that they're actual stones, because plastic is a man-made, it's a man-made substance, and it breaks, you know, it's plastic. So you're going to want to make sure that it's real. Other than that, I think it's whatever speaks to you, whatever calls to you. Gua sha can also be done with metal, so there's different materials that you can use. Just make sure that it's real.
And would you say it's fairly easy for most to tell the difference between what might be real? I like to think that I can quickly distinguish between plastic and stone. But you might have seen some clever renditions of plastic. So any guidance there?
Price and weight. And I would always read the reviews. There's usually a ton of reviews. Reputable lines, and also if it's extremely cheap, it's going to be extremely cheap. So, and also look at the weight. Like, if you look at a Ling roller, check the weight, and you can use that as a guide.
And speaking of knowledge and resources, what are some of the things that you have found helpful in your journey?
I think the exploration with my clients has been one of the resources I find most useful. Expansive thinking. You know, we hold space for people, and everyone's different and every situation is different. So I really love the idea of thinking outside of the box, like, oh, I should Google that. I don't even know what that is. And then that rabbit holes you into a whole different way of thinking, which is really great. So I think remaining open and continuing to learn and continuing to be curious is a gorgeous resource.
And I think that is profoundly helpful, because everyone takes a different path. And I think there is no one right path. So speaking from your truth and your experience is vital to everyone listening, because every journey is so sacred and so important that your journey might appeal to a third of the population. Another third might be academics who like 25 books to learn things.
Absolutely. And it all works. And that's the great thing about holistic living, is you create the ratio that's right for you. And it can be different for you every day, and it can be different for other people. And it's all fine.
And speaking of finding yourself, were there any myths or things that you discarded about holistic skincare or holistic beauty that were just not for you?
I don't know that I've discarded any of them. I think that there's value. I just don't always apply them to myself. I am aging a lot more naturally than most people are comfortable, because I'm so grateful to be a grown woman. And I'm not afraid to let that show. So I'm a lot more relaxed about aging and about, you know, lines and the gua sha and the silver hair. I'm embracing all of that because I'm, like I said, it's an honor and a privilege to grow older as a woman, as a female. So I'm embracing it. And plus, it's exciting to see how I'm going to evolve. So that's the only thing. I don't really get crazy about aging.
I do really like that perspective. And I was wondering about how you balance taking care of yourself in such a whole fashion while also juggling demands of a job, the environment, the stressors that cripple us all to some extent. What are some of the practical ways that you take care of yourself despite the madness?
I would have to say it is honestly unapologetic self-care. It is whatever you need for yourself in that day, within, of course, reason, and doing that for yourself. Saying no when you need to, say yes when you need to, sleep early when you need to, drink more water. It's important to be authentic in your own reality, I feel like.
Did that come naturally to you, or was that a process of evolution?
I think it comes natural. I mean, I'm a low maintenance beauty professional in a high fashion world, and it's been accepted and celebrated because we love variety, right? So I think that there's room for everyone, and there's room for all different kinds of ideas because they're inspirational and they show you what you want or maybe what you don't want. And we love variety, I think.
And that's what creates balance in the world, and balance is at the very core of Ayurveda. So
absolutely. Absolutely. It's the homeostasis of existence, right? Balance.
It certainly is. And it's a beautiful, eloquent pause to the things that we were just discussing, Candace. I so appreciate your spending the time and sharing your great wisdom with us. Mm-hmm. I'd love to end on anything that I might have missed, or a piece of skincare, beauty, self-care advice that you might have for our audiences that we haven't already covered.
Thank you for having me. I would really have to encourage self-care beauty rituals. And that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, whether it's taking a really long bath with all of the things you feel like you need, whether it's making sure that you are hydrated enough, whether it's eating food with a lot of vital life force. Right now, I really want people to indulge in self-care beauty rituals. I think we owe it to ourselves, and we really owe it to each other to roll up out of this reality with our needs cared for.
A great call to action, if I heard one. I am so looking forward for all of this to be behind us and for me to be coming back to New York and spending some quality time on your table.
But I would love that. I'm going to spoil you, lady.
As you do your clients. I know from everyone that I had the privilege of spending time with you. But until then, my friend, please take care of yourself, and I'm sure we'll be talking soon.
Thanks, you too. Thank you so much for having me. I will see you soon.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like more information on our guests and the additional references during our conversation, please visit us at umaoils.com. That is U, M as in Mary, A, O, I, L, S.com. And please subscribe to the Uma Ayurveda podcast and share. See you next time.